Welcome to the Dynamics of Everyday Life, where we demystify some tricky concepts and get to know ourselves a little bit better. Welcome back to the Dynamics of Everyday Life. Today I'm excited to be talking to my second guest on the show, Narinder Sheena. I first met Narinder 10 years ago when we were both stepping into the coaching world and doing our initial training. Our lives took us in very different directions, but fate has drawn us back together again, and I'm delighted that Narinder agreed to speak to me about her experiences of living with and recovering from chronic pain during that period. Chronic pain is something that many of us go through from time to time in our lives, and yet it isn't spoken about or explored to any great degree. I suspect most of us will rely on painkillers and trips to our local GPs. We want to find a physical reason for our pain, something that can be treated with medication or maybe some exercise. I've gone through many a Pilates class hoping it's going to be the answer to my back pain, but it never is, possibly because I get a bit bored and start to think about who I want to be the next James Bond. But I digress. What's happening when we're looking for these quick fixes, though, is we're overlooking the actual reason that we're in pain. This approach was something that Freud was considering when he was working with his patients. In the famous case of Dora, he talks about somatic compliance, where the body is providing physical outlets for expressions of unconscious mental processes. Freud was a great believer that the body tells us what's happening in our minds, and in talking to Narinder, I could see how this is something that still holds true today. So sit back and enjoy all the wisdom and experience that Narinder brings. So welcome back to the Dynamics of Everyday Life. And today I'm delighted to be joined by my friend and long-time coaching here, I would say, Narinder Sheena. And Narinder is joining me today because she is a chronic pain expert and a mindset coach. So welcome to the podcast, Narinder.
Thank you, Julia, for having me today. It's a pleasure.
You're absolutely welcome. So, you know, obviously you and I have known each other now for probably about 10 years, but do tell everyone a bit about yourself.
Yes, I remember how we both were on our first professional coaching course back in 2014. And using that coaching course, I still worked as a lawyer at the time in-house. So I was coaching, mentoring and managing. However, back in 2020, actually before lockdown, I ended up suffering severe chronic pain. I ended up with a disc prolapse. And I knew that a lot of things were layering the stress. I was on maternity leave at the time, but I knew there were a few things that were happening to me. Had my second child in the car, which isn't great, but what I realized was that I wasn't fulfilled in the role I was doing in my job. I knew that coaching was something I really enjoyed. And when I was in chronic pain, I realized the stress I used to put on myself, the anxiety I had. And funnily enough, I went to the traditional route of, you know, physio and chiropractor. And basically, that actually, my pain levels exacerbated to a level I'd never understood. And I started researching because lockdown happened. There wasn't much else I could do. And I researched and I found this book called Healing Back Pain by Dr. Sarno. And it was like a light bulb moment, you know, when you get those, aha, okay, now that explains something. So I realized there were a lot of like people pleasing tendencies, a lot of subconscious anger. And I thought I need to learn a bit more about what's going on in my body, where I had a lot of sciatic pain. I couldn't stand or walk. And I reached out to this woman called Georgie Oldfield, who's a physiotherapist in the UK. And she goes, Narinder, it's stress induced. And that it's a mind-body connection. And my initial thought was, this is so far removed to what I know, because our embedded belief is that the medical system, as good as it is the first port of call, and they're the only ones who can see your recovery through. And so when I started to understand and explore more with her about myself, I started to realize that actually I had the power within myself to heal, but I need to make some effort and find out what is going on. And I found out a lot of it was within my brain and the nervous system. And what happened was I started doing a lot of work like journaling, meditation, and all kinds of things. But the two main things that really helped my mindset was the belief I could recover by myself. And I got that belief by the nurtured support that some of the medical professionals in this mind-body connection helped me with. But secondly, I also had a coach from LA. I found somebody who had been through it, and I thought, you know what? I just need that championing. I need that cheerleading. And I had that. I even had one of our old friends, Patricia, to give me one coaching session. Yeah, I know, good old Patricia. And I was really in still severe pain then. And it was funny, by the time I had my MRI scan, I knew exactly what the neurosurgeon was going to tell me. Straight on, it was surgery. But I wasn't fearful. I was not fearful for 1 minute because I had been given the literature. A month before, I had already started on an action plan, a chronic pain tracker, I called it, to help me. And, you know, it was funny because I thought, oh gosh, once I had the diagnosis, 4 days later, I started to walk more than I ever had done. Because they say sometimes the brain needs a diagnosis because we're left wondering what's next? What's next? That anxiety of waiting around for the next appointment, for surgery. And I vowed to myself, if I recover, then I want to support it. Other people in this because I naturally healed in the end. And it's not a case of you'll never get pain in your body again. You will, but you have the tools then to know and recognize it. And I think about getting the awareness and education were really key parts of it, which is why now I'm helping others to really get their healing journey off the ground.
Wow, it's, I mean, thank you for sharing. It seems incredible the journey that you've been on. And I just loved it when you said, you know, we need to know, the brain needs to know what the problem is, because if we don't, we create all these ideas in our mind, don't we? We can build, you know, not just castles in the sky, we can build full-on cities in the sky if we don't know what the problem is.
And that's the difficulty because a lot of the pain that we have, which we think is really physical, like chronic pain, we think we're harming ourselves if we move and it hurts. But really, there's nothing happening. Persistent pain happens because we allow it to happen. Pain is a protector. It's a really big thing. It's a good thing that we have pain. But at the same time, is that nervous system on false alarm all the time? And where does that stem from? So if we did a timeline therapy, we look at our adverse childhood experiences where a lot of the issues occur, but we don't recognize it because we'd never noticed it. We've packed it away. And then it can happen in terms of trauma. And we know this, that, you know, the big traumas or the little trauma, it doesn't matter what it is, that will keep triggering, but you relate it to something else because that's what the brain likes. It likes logic. It doesn't want to go back. And it was really interesting that I had this conversation with this woman I met at the supermarket. I seem to, funnily enough, make friendships wherever I go, but this particular one, she's an 84-year-old woman, really polite. And the third time I've met her now on the Sunday, she opened up a little bit more to me. She goes, Narinda, she goes, in life, we need to realize things. She goes, at age 32, she goes, I had a mental breakdown. She goes, the savior is looking in that mirror. And seeing my husband and two young children, she goes, that saved me. But she goes, why I had that is because my mother was really abusive to me physically, really, and that really affected me. And I could relate to her because I said, well, you know, I've seen it from a child's perspective, seeing my mother suffer a mental breakdown age 5, but I thought nothing of it for years. I thought, packed it away, it's not affecting me. But actually, how about if it did? How about I change my personality in my childhood to please other people, to be that good person? And that's what I started to realize with my chronic pain, that all this stems from stuff that I had packed away and never allowed myself to dig deeper. So it's real exploration in understanding, well, actually, what you've gone through is quite that sense of adverse childhood experience and trauma. But you just hadn't seen it that way, or you hadn't noticed it. Whereas my nervous system will get anxious at things where other people go, but why are you getting anxious at that? Why is that really affecting you? Because everyone's brain is working differently.
Yeah, ab absolutely. And not only is everyone's brain working differently, because we all have different experiences that our brains need to manage, our brains don't like to give up their tried and tested ways of being, do they? They're like, we are quite happy keeping this nicely tucked away in our unconscious. We're not giving this up without a fight. So it comes out in other ways, such as pain, and we reach for paracetamol or a diagnosis or something to help us feel better.
And don't get me wrong, the medical professions are great because you're going to have acute injuries. But again, they heal over time. But why do we go to these medical professionals? Because it makes us feel better. Doesn't mean they permanently fix the problem. But if we want that permanent fix, we can get it. But it just takes that bit longer, that hard work. Like mine was not an overnight recovery. I have spoken to people and read stories of they've read a book and that's it. That's a light bulb moment. They've actually recovered. To those that knew what inner work they had to do. And there's no like one size fits all. They're all different methods. But first of all, you've got to be honest with yourself. Where's your starting point? Have you noticed anything? I used to go to bed when I was in severe pain, and I used to say something to my subconscious so that I could ask for, what is the pain trying to tell me? What is it? And I knew what it was trying to tell me because what I really needed to do was transition my career because I had this fear that, oh my gosh, am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? So we start self-sabotaging, and that compassion doesn't even filter through because you're so quick to blame yourself for things that you think, oh gosh, maybe the gremlin comes back in to fight that in. So you have to really explore all that and really be challenging yourself to say, actually, this is happening right now, but who can support me to move forward to say, actually, it's okay. You're allowed to feel this way. And who's going to be best to serve you going forwards?
And what for you were the almost like milestone moments in your pain recovery journey?
One of the key things was, I remember Georgie going, when I was angry because I had this call with her over the phone and I was really suffering. Like, nobody understands the pain I'm feeling. They haven't got this pain. It's an alien pain. And she goes, it's okay, Narinda, you'll recover. And nobody had said that to me. What you hear from medical professionals is, oh, 6 months, don't jog too much, don't do much walking. Actually, she was saying, do as much as your body allows you to do or how you feel comfortable with. I was walking, I was jogging. Yes, it was painful, but I was walking every day in the pain, in the searing pain, because I thought, I'm not allowing this pain to overtake. And I think another moment was my mum coming to stay with us for a week, and she was really anxious to see me in this state. She's never seen me in such a debilitated state. And it panicked me, and I thought, gosh, how about if my children see me like this every day, like this? I'm dependent on my family all the time. And I realized I needed to make changes within myself. And it didn't have to be about doing, it was more about being. And I reached out to Howard Schumacher, who is into the mind-body connection in America. And he said to me, soothe your nervous system. That was the only words he asked me, what's going on? I said, the pain's moving in my body. And he goes, soothe your nervous system. That was it. That was his advice. And I heard that again from another great author, Stephen Olzinich, who wrote The Great Pain Deception. And he talked about his journey of chronic pain, back pain for years. And he goes, if thousands have recovered, why can't you? So it's like I needed so many people just to give me that reassurance and evidence. I had a lot of literature, the NICE guidelines of what they talk about. And then I made that decision, saw so many recovery stories. But having the peer-to-peer support in private Facebook groups where there were real people saying we've recovered, and I'd realized what I had as a diagnosis was insignificant to a lot of people, and actually I could do this. So having that support of peer-to-peer, having coaching really, really signified it. But it was scary at first to cancel chiropractic and physio treatment. And I'm not saying they weren't doing their job. It was just, it didn't work for me. It wasn't my solution. And actually, I felt more empowered the more I started recovering. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I wanted the whole world to know that actually there was another way. But I have to be mindful that where people are in their journey, it's not easy. But Actually, you could have 30 years of chronic pain and still recover, because it's that chronic pain is not physical pain, if that makes sense. It's not that the pain will happen because you've restricted yourself so much from walking, because you've been told by a medical professional, oh, don't walk so much, or that you've got bad knees. You hear it all the time. You either believe the stories you're told, or you'll think, actually, I'll find a way to get out of that and focus on healing.
So how did you soothe your nervous system? Because that sounds a great tip, but how do you actually go about doing that?
First of all, I just have to relax. Just accept that the pain's there. It's okay. I'm not trying to get rid of it quickly like I started to. At the start, I was catastrophizing. I was going, I need to get rid of this pain. It's so debilitating. I couldn't touch my toes, and all this stress was coming. And I was, really panicking, going, oh my gosh. And the worse I was catastrophizing, the worse it was getting. And I noticed that was what happening. So one of the things I did was obviously start being in the moment. So meditation was one key thing. Dr. Joe Dispenza had some amazing ones, but I did also one called Yoga Nidra, before I went to bed, because I could not sleep. So when you're in chronic pain, you can't sleep. I'd been sleeping on the floor for months, and I thought, I just need some sleep to repair my body. And when I did Yoga Nidra, it was like a drug, literally fell asleep. But I also started journaling. I journaled quite a lot, and I started noticing patterns in my thought process. And the thoughts come and go, but there was a similar thought. And I thought, these aren't true. These are what I'm telling myself, the narrative I keep replaying in my head. Where's this coming from? And then I started to do a bit of EFT, which was amazing, just to release emotions. I started to realize that I held a lot of grief as well for my father, and I kept it contained in my body. And the thing is, you try and be strong for everybody else, but actually, you're the one who's suffering. So I started to unpack a lot of that. I did have some psychotherapy, a couple of sessions, but I realized that's not what was going to get me through moving forwards with healing my pain. That might help with mental health, but my real crux was actually, how am I going to get through the pain that I'm feeling? So I did, what else did I do? Yeah, so I started meditation a couple of months. I think the big thing I did was affirmations. You hear about affirmation, how good they are or not. And I took or leave it. I was like, yeah. But because I was at that desperate stage, I actually did do it. And I thought, I don't believe these yet. And there were things like, I am healing and I feel amazing. I am walking comfortably and I feel fantastic. So just, I had a couple, and I used to write them out and read them in the morning and evening. And no word of a lie, after about, I would say, approximately 1 to 2 months after it was happening, whatever I was reading on my affirmations was happening. And I was like, oh, it's gone into my subconscious. Have I just driven that through? At the same time, I started acknowledging my fears. So I used to write down my fears of, okay, my biggest fear was walking out of the close where I live and sitting down on the pavement because I couldn't walk longer than 2 minutes. And then the acknowledging and reframing it and saying, that's okay, I can sit down, but where's the next goal? So my goal was the lamppost and the next one. So I used to do things like that. So write down my fears when I used to go swimming. I couldn't hardly walk there, and getting changed in a swimming pool. Like, it's quite difficult, isn't it? You think, oh, I'm outside my home. So you fear it quite a lot. But I realized that the more I acknowledged it on paper, my fears and things like that, I felt actually better. And reframing the ways I kept thinking about it, that and the main thing I kept putting at the forefront of my mind is that actually chronic pain is just psychological. A lot of this is what's manifested through myself, and there's nothing wrong with me. And that neuroplasticity, trying to retrain the brain, was really interesting to see how that worked. And over time, it worked for me. That where I got to the point of, lifting weights. I've got a severe disc prolapse that needs surgery, and I'm lifting weights. So I was laughing to myself, going, yes. I do believe, and I know I'm making great progress in my momentum to get there.
So you've mentioned affirmations. What else really helped on your road to recovery?
I would say having that coach as well, just to really champion me on. And I couldn't say anything specific more than, you'll do this. Like, there were motivational videos I'd watch on YouTube while I was walking, and they were amazing. You know, those the Americans do it well. They do. I'm sorry, but the Americans' energy and passion, like, why can't you break through this? I used to think that, like, you know, some kind of Rocky Balboa pushing through on my walks. And I think having someone cheerlead me all the way through, you've got this, you've really got this. And the more I could tell, I wrote, she asked me actually to write proof that I'm healing. Okay, I can hoover, I can pick up my children. And these were the things I started listing. And also having self-care. I didn't give myself, I was at the bottom of the list. My children and everybody else came before me. And I never took care of myself. So I started putting a goddess hour, she called it, and it was amazing. So I'd have some time to myself for an hour at least. And then gratitude. You know, what am I grateful for? And I used to do that while I'm brushing my teeth in the evening. Always, what am I grateful for? And these kind of things, all the positive emotions and the joy came back into my life because that's what I was missing in lockdown. I was socially isolated as well. So it was a big thing. So I'm more of a meeting people face to face. I love all that. Didn't have that at the time. I was grappling with so many layers of stress that the anxiety just built up in me and I recognized it. I was kidding myself beforehand that I used to think I was really active. I hadn't been active for years with the children. The children were young and I did nothing. So just accepting where I was rather than denying it and starting to recognize that actually I don't have to be this victim. It's more so of, okay, you've had a lot to deal with. You know, we had big changes in our life. We moved house. I was pregnant at the time, lost my dad. So I contained so much. But how have I explored that and moved forward. So there were a combination of things I started to understand about myself. And that's a big thing is if you've lost yourself along this path, is how do you bring that yourself back? What are the things you enjoy doing? Write them down and start working out ways how you can find that joy. And what you start realizing is the pain starts to diminish and it turns into like a dot where before it's like a big mountain. That's all you're doing, climbing up all with the pain. So how can you move forwards with that without then going, I'm pain-free, or I've had pain-free times? Why is that? Because if it's a really severe injury, which doesn't happen, because I never had an injury. I woke up out of bed one day with a niggle in my right ankle. So how could it have got to such an extent without an accident or an injury that's what the level was?
It's incredible what our bodies can actually be telling us when we have these levels of pain, and we're so driven to seek for, an answer. It's almost like we want an answer, like I fell over or I bashed it, and that's what we're looking for. But actually, it's much deeper than that, isn't it?
And that's the crux of it. The deeper you go in within yourself and you really be exploring it is when you start to get the aha moments. And it's not like I'll never suffer pain again. I mean, more recently, last year when I was writing my book, for the last, I think it was about 2 months, because I went emotionally into my book while I was reliving some moments, I suffered migraines. And I had migraines when I was in chronic pain. So that's what started it off. I had migraines before I had a severe disc prolapse. But I never connected migraines with chronic pain, but it actually is one of the most prominent things. And at the time, I used to convince myself saying, oh, I'm hectic at the moment. I've got a young baby. I'm not drinking enough water. You know, all the things I wanted to logically, because as a lawyer, you logically and fit in. It wasn't that. It was more than that. I wasn't looking after myself. I was just manifesting this anxiety. And I realized that. I thought, take a step back, Narinda. You know, everything's okay. Nothing's going to crumble. But because your nervous system is in such a way, you need to now pick that up. And it's funny, when I was getting coached on my chronic pain, she asked me a really interesting question, which I've never been asked before. And she was like, where do you feel the anxiety? Where do you notice it? And I went, okay. I said, well, my chest does tighten when that happens. And my stomach, there's either that anxiety you get, or you get it as excitement, the similar pattern. And then I said, my mouth goes dry, really dry. She goes, oh, okay. So notice that. And she was a breath work instructor as well. I mean, she's really great at that. And I remember, how am I breathing? I started becoming conscious of how I was breathing. Because when we're anxious and when we're up to, it's quick in pace. And actually, belly breathing is significantly better for calming that nervous system down, which I started to do more of. And you can do that, the four in, four out, wherever you go. And that's what I started doing. I started, also, I had this app called Curable for chronic pain sufferers. And I thought, well, I'm giving everything else a go. Let's give that a go. And this is really important to know because, say, people are suffering. It's a lonely journey in chronic pain. People want to understand, but they can't unless they've been through it. Because I go, it's all right, you'll get over that. And it's all right, just come on. But they don't understand how much it might take the effort to get out of bed, to actually put your clothes on when you're physically suffering, to actually even being able to cook or wash dishes. I could not do either of those things for a while. And I thought all these little basic things that I took for granted, I can't do now. And when I started the Curable app, it was things like actually, I was sitting on the soft sofa and I did it on there. And it goes, go on, tell your nervous. Ask your brain to give you more pain to see how far it can go because you think it's going to get worse and worse. Actually, it goes to a level that it plateaus and it started to just reduce. And I went, I'm sitting on a soft sofa. I shouldn't be sitting on this. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is an amazing app. It's helping me because I was by myself and it was really supporting me to say, actually, there's nothing that's the matter. My brain and nervous system are just in overdrive, understandably, but it just needs to be calmed down. And so I started to recognize, actually, I'm absolutely fine, but it's just going to take me a bit of time because I'm in this anxiety state. And it was so interesting trialing and erroring where people go, oh, don't bend down. Don't bend down like that. Be careful of your back. Be careful. Actually, your back is stronger than you think. Very strong. You don't see people when you're at work, for example. There could be people for all kinds of reasons. They're slouching, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can slouch. There's evidence out there that says it's not indicative of back pain, but it's really indicative of what's going on in your brain and your nervous system. Because two people can have the same imaging. I could have the same image as another person. One person wouldn't feel the pain and one would. And for me, that was mind-blowing to know. Oh, okay, so the imaging from an MRI or scan actually doesn't prove if the pain's coming from it because it's not a physical injury. It's probably been there for a while, but actually it's our nervous system and brain that's causing that to continue.
That's incredible, isn't it? Well, my mind's blown by that today already. So, what would be your top tips for someone who is at the start of their chronic pain journey?
The key thing is to not panic, to know that you're not damaging your body. Yes, it can feel really severe, like an alien type of pain, but also to reach out for support. In that vulnerable state, you need the right type of support. And I'd also seek out mind-body practitioners or coaches like myself that are in that space. If you feel you want somebody who's either understood chronic pain or doesn't, it doesn't matter, but reach out to somebody who will be able to support your journey in healing. It's not overnight, but once you get that support, you'll be able to start working out what's happening with you, what's your current reality, because there could be some big stresses happening that you've not realized and not connected it to your chronic pain. And remember that you'll be able to heal.
And what were the big lessons that you learned along the way?
I learned that I shouldn't keep everything in. And really, emotions should be processed and regulated a lot more. I realized my self-care is number one in my values, that it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. If we don't look after ourselves, and that goes to an extent of people pleasing. If you don't set some boundaries, boundaries are not rude. It means that you're preserving your own energy, you're preserving your own happiness and joy. Because if you don't have that in place, you are going to keep suffering pain. in different types of your body and in different ways. And then you'll just be a victim to your own thoughts, essentially. But you'll project that on other people, maybe. So I would say if there's emotions there that you can't seem to understand, really try writing it down. If you don't like journaling and you've tried it, what other methods are out there? But give it a go. Have a look. Do your research as well. You know, as I say, if you've exhausted the medical system, that doesn't mean that you're helpless or you're hopeless. It means that actually there are other ways of getting out of this situation. But you just reach out and you'll see there's a lot of literature out there, a lot of people that are willing to help.
I mean, you've been incredibly useful this morning, Narinda. Thank you. I'm absolutely indebted to what you've told us this morning. It's such a world that actually we need to look at to help manage how we feel for ourselves. So do as a way of kind of sharing the love, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, I've got a website, mapcoach, mapcoach.co.uk. You can see me on Google there. I'm on LinkedIn as well as Narinda Sheena. And I'm currently working alongside Peak Health Coaching Limited as well in terms of educating others in terms of GPs, chiropractors, physio, any kind of medical or healthcare professional needing support to understand what do these individuals need. So, you know, have a look on the NHS website for those details if you need it, but definitely reach out and find me. You can do a Google search. I'm sure I come up on a certain one. But yeah, and notice that actually there is a lot going on behind the scenes to make sure that the NHS are on board, and a lot of the health organizations, coaching organizations actually have a shared vision that it's personalized care for that individual. It's not about our journey. It's always about theirs and really taking them where they need to get to.
Fantastic, thank you. I will put your details of how people can contact you in the show notes as well. And I would just like to say thank you so much for being my second guest, second friend of the show. And hopefully we'll have, I'm sure there'll be a fabulous response, and we can have you back on again soon. So thank you, Narinda. I massively appreciate it.
Thanks, Julie, for having me on.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Dynamics of Everyday Life. Please hit the follow button for future episodes and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Instagram at The Dynamics of Everyday Life or find me on LinkedIn at Julia Rogers. I'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts on dynamics. The Dynamics of Everyday Life is brought to you by Coaching 42 and the fabulous team at the Podcast Boutique.